I left my prop over here. Wilson! I don't have a volleyball. It is actually a Wilson, though, so it's still Wilson, but it's football Wilson, so. That had absolutely nothing to do with anything. I just wanted to do the joke, just so you know. No, it goes along with the shipwreck theme, right? And so, again, welcome, good morning. Thank you all for being here as we come together and just rehash and celebrate and talk about our VBS program and outreach for 2018. And so I know that I had a great time. But the reason why, maybe you don't know, the reason why I get to have a great time is because my official position during VBS is troublemaker. That's my job. I get to go around causing problems. So any of the pictures that you saw of me in there, and they got some in, and I thought I was doing pretty good staying out of them. But any picture you saw of me, that was me out there causing problems. And so you might have actually seen one with a, I think there was one with a little girl who had kind of a frowny face, and then there was this hand that was stealing a cookie. That was me, just so you know. And so, you know, I had a blast, and you know, at one point as well, I think that the reason why this year Lori went ahead and gave us the totals for coin and the totals for cash for the coin drive is what she didn't tell you is that if the boys win, then they got to throw water balloons at Lori. And then if the girls win, then they get to throw water balloons at me and a couple of other guys. And so I might have accused her of having a conflict of interest because she's the one who counts the money too. And I might have also accused the ladies of cheating in general because, you know, there's like 40 ladies and only about 5 guys who are volunteering. And so I think that they stack the deck, they rig it, so I get pelted with water balloons every year. No, that's not something to applaud about. No. In fact, you know, you could even work it in. I was looking to Lori to try to rescue me from being pelted with water balloons, but she was more concerned about rescuing herself. So anyway, the theme for this year, shipwrecked, rescued by Jesus. And so you saw pictures, the games, the crafts, the snacks, everything that was going around. It had this tropical theme, like tropical snacks on a deserted island and treasure hunts and singing about and learning about the rescue that Jesus brings us. In fact, your kids hopefully told you about this as well. Even on the last day, we had a pirate ship come and rescue them off of the island. And so this theme of shipwreck and rescue, we'll just look at it just a couple minutes because it was more than just a way of having fun treats and games and cool decorations and things like that. It served a purpose. The theme was intentional. It helped us as the volunteers to show and teach the children what we wanted them to come to know about God. And so many of you parents out there, hopefully you heard from your kids, and as we heard this morning, the ideas of both being shipwrecked and being rescued, it came from this theme verse for this year, which was Colossians 1:13. In Colossians, this verse was part of a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a first century church in the city of Colossae, which was located in what is now modern-day Turkey. And so Colossians 1:13 says, again, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." And so throughout the week, in addition to the fun and games, the children also learned about what the Bible teaches us about rescue, specifically the rescue that's offered to all of us through Jesus. So the rescue offered through Jesus, we looked at it, it focuses at times of loneliness or times of trouble. But most importantly, and what we rounded out and ended the week on, is the main focus, the main purpose of Jesus' rescue of sinners. To rescue us from sin, specifically the consequences of sin. And we'll look at that in a few moments. And first, though, I'd like to spend just a few moments maybe looking at this idea of rescue, what Paul is talking about here. Because if we don't have a correct understanding of what he's talking about, what rescue means, then we're not going to figure out, we're not going to know what he's trying to tell us here. And so this term that he uses, rescue, it comes from a Greek word that actually it means to be delivered from danger by another person. And this understanding is that this danger is severe, it's acute, it's life-threatening. In other words, it's not talking about being rescued from an awkward social situation. And it's not talking about being rescued from having kids throw water balloons at you. See, this rescue here is from a situation in which your very life is in danger, where you won't be able to get out of it yourself. When your life is on the line and there's nothing that you can do to fix it. And so this is the type of rescue that Paul is talking about, and it's a type of rescue that Paul knew from his own life. Because in case you didn't know, Paul, he lived a life of danger, extreme danger. From what we learn about him in the Bible, he lived a life in complete trust on God. He was trusting in God. He was following God no matter where it led, and it often led to danger. It led to situations where his own life was threatened, and he couldn't fix it himself. And during story time on Wednesday, when I got a chance to talk to the kids, I told them about Paul and I told them about some of these dangers that we learn about from the Bible in his second letter to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. He talks about some of the dangers that he experienced in his life of following Christ. He says things like, I've worked much harder, I've been imprisoned more frequently, I've been flogged more severely and exposed to death, and again, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was pelted with stones, 3 times I was shipwrecked, I spent a night and day in the open sea, I've been constantly on the move, I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And so Paul knows about danger. He lived a life of danger, and he also knows what rescue from God looks like, because every time he was in this danger, he was rescued. I mean, think about it for a second. Paul was literally shipwrecked, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And one of those times he was shipwrecked, he was out in the open ocean, probably hanging on to a board for a night and a day. And we don't know what happened. He was either picked up by another ship or he washed to shore. And so Paul literally experienced rescue from God in his physical circumstances time and time again throughout his life. But in spite of all of this, in spite of being physically rescued and delivered by God again and again, I don't think that that's what Paul is talking about here. I don't think he's talking about rescue in a physical sense, like being rescued from prison or being shipwrecked. And so the question that we have to ask and answer is, what does he mean? What does it mean that God rescues us? What is the kind of rescue that Jesus or that Paul is talking about here, especially through Jesus? And again, if we look back at our memory verse, the theme verse for this week, and then the next verse after it, it gives us the answer to that. Again, in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, it says this, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And see, these verses here, this sentence, it's a part of an extended prayer that Paul is praying for this church. And so for a little bit of background, the reason why Paul is writing this letter in the first place is because the church in Colossae was in danger as well. But they were in danger from the teachings of false teachers. Their people had come into the church and trying to teach them that in order to be saved, you had to do things. You had to follow the Old Testament law. You had to eat what Jewish people ate. You had to do what Jewish people do. You had to be circumcised like Jewish males were circumcised. And if you didn't do those things, then you really weren't saved. And so they were in danger. And so that's why Paul is writing them this letter. He wants them to know that he wants them to truly understand what relationship with God looks like, what it includes, and specifically what God has done for each and every one of them for this relationship. In other words, Paul is talking about the rescue of salvation. He's talking about the rescue of having right relationship with God. So he's not talking necessarily about physical danger and physical circumstances and rescue like that. He's talking about the rescue from darkness being brought into the kingdom of God. In other words, Paul is actually talking to us about rescue from ourselves. He's teaching about rescue from our sin nature, from the desire that we all have to do what we want, to ignore God and do the things that we like to do. And so he's talking about being rescued from being, as the Bible teaches, being an enemy of God, and rescue from the consequences of that state of enmity, which is sin and death. See, in God's word in Scripture, the state of enmity, of being an enemy of God, is called sin. And sin, in its simplest terms, as the kids learn throughout the week, is rebellion against God. It's doing what we want to do even when we know that it's wrong, that it's not what God wants for us. And when we turn away from God and his desires, this is the path of sin. And the Bible clearly teaches us that following that path is a bad idea. Proverbs 14:12 says this. It says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." And Paul himself, in other letters, he writes about this as well. In Romans 6:23, he says this, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what Scripture teaches us time and time again, that what sin deserves, what it earns for us, is death. Separation from God for all eternity. And so before you start thinking that this is just Paul talking and he's just a goody two-shoes who has no idea about the real world or anything like that, we have to remember who Paul was. Paul knew about sin firsthand because he was a violent sinner who was involved in oppressing and murdering Christians before he was rescued. Before he was converted, he was known as Saul, and he was one of the most repressive and violent persecutors of the early church. And in the book of Acts, it actually tells us at one point, Paul, or Saul, stood over guarding the cloaks of men who were throwing rocks to kill Stephen, one of the early church leaders. And he stood over that and approved. And in fact, after watching that, Saul went to the leaders of the religion of the Jews in the temple in Israel, and he asked them and received permission from them to go from town to town finding Christians and arresting them and putting them into prison. So Paul knew about sin. He knew what it was to sin. Listen how he describes himself. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says this about himself. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." So Paul knew sin. He knew what it was to sin. He knew firsthand the need for rescue from himself, from his own rebellion against God. And see, that's what makes all of his writings, that's what makes his ministry What he teaches about Jesus, what he teaches about the rescue that Jesus offers, that's what makes it so powerful. It's because Paul experienced it firsthand. He knows how God rescues people. He was rescued from himself. He was rescued from his own rebellion against God and from the consequences of that rebellion, what that had earned for him, which was death or eternal separation from God in hell. And see, this is what we were trying to teach the children at VBS this year as well. From Paul, from the other authors of Scripture, but most importantly from God. They learned, yes, about the shipwrecked nature of the human condition, but they also, even more importantly, learned about the rescue that God offers. The rescue that is freely offered to all. They learned that God loves each and every one of them. That God loves each and every one of us. And because he loves us, he wants us to be with him. He doesn't want us to be his enemies. He wants us to be his friends. And so he freely offers rescue through his son, Jesus. In this same letter, Colossians, just a few verses later, he tells us what this rescue is. In verses 19 and 20, so it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. See, what they learned, what we learn from this is God promises us the rescue of reconciliation. Rescue from ourselves, from the effects of sin, from our rebellion against him. But this rescue, it's so much more than just being saved from ourselves. It's more, it's not just a self-help program. It's not just a get-out-of-jail-free card. God doesn't just clean us up and then send us on our merry ways. See, the rescue that he offers is reconciliation with him. Being made right with God to let us be with him in relationship forever. And that's the rescue that Jesus offers through his work on the cross. See, God doesn't just judge or just ignore our sins pretending that they didn't happen. He works to reconcile us to him. To make things right between us and him. And he did this not by making us do something, not by making us meet him halfway. He did all the work. He reconciles us to himself through the work of his son Jesus on the cross. Salvation, rescue, it's a work of God. Because we can't save ourselves, because we can't rescue ourselves from the shipwreck that is our life of sin and rebellion. And so God does the work for us. And he does this. He rescues, he offers salvation because he loves us. Look at what Paul says here. He says, it pleased God to do this. It pleased God to send his son to make salvation possible. It pleased God. It brought him pleasure to make peace with us, even though it cost him the life of his own son. It pleased him because he loves us and he wants relationship with us. He wants us to be reconciled to him. He wants us all, each and every person, to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is the rescue that God offers. This is the rescue that we talked about throughout this week. When we ask, knowing that we are sinners, for God to rescue us through Jesus, then God promises to always come to our rescue. And it brings him pleasure to do so. See, this verse that we looked at in Romans 6 about the wages of sin being death, it doesn't just end there. The whole verse says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this is what this rescue truly is. It's reconciliation with God, restored relationship with the Father, the creator and sustainer of the entire universe. It's a fundamental change in the relationship between us where we go from being enemies to being friends. Paul, in this letter to the church in Colossae, goes on to describe this reconciliation in this way, in verses 21 and 22 of chapter 1. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." See, God freely offers this to everyone. Because he loves us. Because he doesn't want us to be alienated. He doesn't want us to be separated from him. He wants us to know him, to know the love that he has for us, the love that he freely gives to those who ask for that rescue. Because that rescue it's not forced, it's offered, it's a gift. It's a gift of love, something that must be received. It's a gift of acceptance, of belonging, of no longer being alienated from and enemies with God. It's the gift of rescue. It's the gift of friendship. And that's what your children learned this week. The friendship that God offers. The rescue of reconciliation, of friendship with him, to be right with him, to know and experience his love firsthand. And if nothing else, I hope and pray that each and every child that came to VBS this week came away knowing that God loves them and that he wants to rescue them from the consequences of sin and evil in this world. And so as we wrap everything up this morning, I would say the same thing to each and every one of us here this morning as well. The same story is true. The same truth is true for us. God loves you. And he offers rescue to each and every one of you. He offers each and every one of us reconciliation, relationship with him. He holds out his hand in love and acceptance. True acceptance. Acceptance of who you are, even with that knowledge of who you are. God knows you. God knows everything about you. He knows everything you've done, even those things that you regret the most, even those things that nobody else can ever know about. God knows it all. And he still loves you. And he still offers rescue. Jesus himself tells us that he didn't come into the world to judge us, not to offer condemnation, but to seek and to save the lost. So again, as we close, let me say this. God eagerly desires to save all people, but he doesn't force it on us. You all probably know John 3:16, which says that God so loved the world, he so loved all of humanity, that he gave his only Son, that whoever in all the world believes in him, whoever has faith in his power to rescue, those who believe will not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life in the presence of God. And see, our response, if we desire this salvation, is to confess God and believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that he died so that we can be forgiven our sins. Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And that's a truth. That's a promise that God gives to everyone, without exception. Because everyone is in need of rescue. And so if you're here and you'd want to know more about that, if you want to know what reconciliation with God means, what it looks like, how to do it, then please come speak with me. Talk to someone else here at the church. We would love to have the opportunity to speak with you about what it means to be a Christian, because it's not complicated. It's not. It doesn't involve a lot of rituals. It doesn't involve a step-by-step procedure or anything like that. It's just doing this. It's just confessing your sin, believing that Jesus offered the salvation that you can't get for yourself, and believing in your heart that Jesus died, was raised again, so that you could be rescued. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Father God, this morning I am so thankful that you are a God of rescue, that you are a saving God, that you love us enough to have sent your only Son, Jesus, to die so that we could live, to pay the penalty that our rebellion against you earned, so that we, if we believe, if we have faith, can be reconciled to you, that we can be rescued from ourselves. God, thank you for that gift. Thank you that you are a God of love, and that we can know and experience that love firsthand. For as always, Jesus, it's in your name that we pray, and we pray in your name because you are the one who purchased salvation for us. You're the one who makes it possible for us to speak with and approach the Father in reconciliation. And so it's through your name that we pray. Amen. Well, just a few moments. We will head downstairs to eat. So I hope everyone enjoys their barbecue, everyone enjoys the hamburgers and hot dogs. And here's a tip, just to, by the way, if you take a burger and then you take a hot dog and cut it in half and put it on top of the burger, that's awesome. But before we split up, though, if there's someone here who would like prayer, if you would like someone to pray with you and for you, please know that there will be people up front who would love to have that chance to pray with you in what you need. And so come up if you'd like prayer. But why don't you let me just pray really quick for our food, and then we'll be dismissed and we can go downstairs and eat. So let's pray for the food. Father God, again, we thank you for being God. We thank you that you love us. We pray, God, right now that you will bless this food, bless the hands that prepared it. God, we pray that you'll bless our time together, that we will have a time of fellowship and joy and just enjoy being with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. And with that, thank you all.